Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Chad Young.
Hello and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. As the man said, my name is Chad Young. A couple big pieces of business for MLB on Friday. First, some new rules were approved. MLB will be instituting a pitch clock, making bases larger, limiting pickoff moves, and banning shifts that put three players on one side of the infield. Last night, along with my co-host, Pete Ball, I recorded an episode of Keeper Cut due to come out Monday, and we go into some more detail on how we think this should impact thinking about keepers and future value for players. You'll see a lot of thoughts on what these rules mean over the next few days. You should go check that out. The other big change that MLB said they would recognize the inclusion of minor league players in the MLBPA. Not much fantasy impact there, but great news for minor league players who should benefit greatly from this representation. Looking at transactions, injuries, things like that. As expected, Josh Young called up and he wasted no time making an impact for the Rangers. Young played third base and hit seventh, smoked a home run in his first plate appearance, finished his debut 2-for-4 and added a stolen base. He will not be hitting seventh for long if that continues. This is a guy who could be a big difference maker. The Rays got a couple of big pieces back Friday. Drew Rasmussen returned from the paternity list to start at Yankee Stadium, went 6 shutout, allowing 6 hits and striking out 10. Just a brilliant performance. As we've discussed, the current edition of the Yankees can't hit at all. Still, that's an ace-level performance from Rasmussen. The other big return was Wander Franco, finally off the IL. Wander hit second, went 3-for-5 with a couple of doubles or 2 runs, 2 RBIs. Just great to see him back. To make room for those two, the Rays designated Yu Chang for assignment and optioned Yanni Chirinos to the minors. The Angels got back both Michael Lorenzen and Mickey Moniak from the IL, optioning Tuki Toussaint and designating Ryan Aguiar to make room. Lorenzen actually fared decently in his return against the Astros, lasting 5 2/3, allowing a run and 3 hits, although he struck out just 2 and walked 4. Unfortunately, his pen couldn't hold the lead for the W. He had just 6 whiffs and an 18% CSW. His velocity was down half a tick or so. Looks like he will miss Cleveland and get Seattle next, and that's a little risky to me. Moniak, meanwhile, was 0-for-3 hitting 8th, not expecting much from him. The Italian breakfast back on the menu in Kansas City as Vinny Pascantino returned to play first base and hit 4th for the Royals. He was 1-for-3 with a double and a walk, one of my favorite first base prospects, and he should be back in lineups for all managers in all leagues. Ryan Pressly back at the back end of the Astros pen, got his 26th save Friday. He gave up a home run to Taylor Ward, but struck out 2 and held on for the win. Brandon Bialik was optioned to the minors to clear space. We talked yesterday about the unfortunate foul tip that caught Keibert Ruiz on Thursday. Well, after that, he hit the IL. This keeps him out until at least September 19th. If you've been using him at catcher in redraft, you can safely move on. You really can't afford to wait for his return. Israel Pineda replaced him on the roster, but it was Riley Adams getting the start at catcher for the Nats Friday, going 1-for-4 with a double and a run. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. also came up on the show this week, and he also hit the IL Friday. Otto Lopez recalled to replace him. I expected a strong finish from Gurriel, so this is a big loss. As of right now, all we know is it's possible he'll need more than the minimum 10 days to get back, so we'll just have to wait and hear more. Freddy Peralta also placed in the IL as anticipated. Justin Tapa was recalled to take his place. But he won't enter the rotation as he'll use Jason Alexander, Eric Lauer, Adrian Hauser, Brandon Woodruff, and Corbin Burns moving forward. The Padres placed Austin Nola on the paternity list and designated Cam Gallagher for assignment. That leaves Jorge Alfaro as the only catcher listed on the roster, although Luis Camposano is listed as a DH and he probably should count. Alfaro will hold down the job while Nola is away. On Friday, Alfaro was 0-for-3, hitting 9th in the Padres lineup. The Yankees placed Jose Trevino on the paternity list and recalled Ben Rortvedt, but Kyle Higashioka figures to be the regular catcher while Trevino is out. Higashioka went 3-for-4 with a home run Friday, Not a lot of reason to expect much production from him, though. Not a big fantasy impact, but Brendan McKay will undergo Tommy John surgery. McKay is a really intriguing talent, but just cannot stay healthy. Just such a shame to see this happening again to him. Some early exits and other news on Friday. Aaron Hicks left the Yankees game early, but it was not for injury. Just had a rough game, was getting harassed by the fans, and just needed to get out, it seems like. He dropped a fly ball down the line and then left it there while two runs scored, presumably because he thought it was a foul ball. The Yankees just a mess right now. Giants catcher Austin Wynn hit on the head with a pitch and pulled. Catchers have enough issues with head injuries behind the plate. Hate to add this to it. James Caprillion was scratched with a cut on his hand Friday. The A's only expect him to miss this one start, though. Nick Madrigal left the Cubs game early with groin tightness. This was on the right side. He missed 2 months earlier this year with a left groin injury, so this is not great news for him. Yuli Gurriel was scratched with Trey Mancini replacing him at first base. Sounds like it was just a late decision to give him some rest, but given how he's performed, this should maybe happen more often. Nelson Velasquez scratched from the Cubs lineup as well. That was with an illness, so it should be a short absence. Onto the on-field action. Nico Hoerner refuses to forgive me anytime he's out of my lineups. Friday, 2-for-4 with a home run and a stolen base. Had 2 runs and 2 RBIs. An impressive year for him, and he should be on your radar moving forward. Xander Bogaerts hit his 13th home run in a 3-for-5 effort with a run and 2 RBIs. Despite the disappointing power output, he is currently the AL batting average leader and having a pretty valuable fantasy season. Alex Call had that huge day Thursday, so he followed it up with another start and went 3-for-4 with another home run. Call hasn't been a top prospect, but his minor league track record is strong, and there's no reason for the Nats not to give him the plate appearances to see what he can do. Bo Bichette tripled, homered, scored a run, drove in 3. He is finally delivering the first-round value we were expecting when we drafted him. Despite relatively even splits this year, Eric Haas really is a lefty masher, and Friday he mashed a lefty, 3-for-5, a pair of home runs, 2 runs, 3 RBI. If you can keep using him only against lefties, you should. Oscar Gonzalez and Carlos Correa went at it in Minnesota. Gonzalez was 4-for-5 with a couple home runs, 2 runs, and 5 RBI, while Correa was 4-for-5 with 1 home run, 2 runs, and 4 RBI. Correa has been disappointing, but is turning things on lately. Gonzalez continuing to succeed despite a very aggressive approach at a plate. That's an approach that has me selling high. Ryan McMahon, 2-for-4 with a couple of solo shots. Coors played its natural role as a launching pad Friday, so he wasn't alone. Elias Diaz also had 2 home runs. Both of these guys have value in deeper leagues, especially when you can platoon them and only use them at home. While none of the Diamondbacks hit 2 home runs in Coors, Jake McCarthy and Dalton Varsho, both of whom, by the way, have been great lately, each had a combo meal. They had a home run and a stolen base. The D-backs are building something interesting on offense. Outside of Coors, Carlos Santana hit a pair of home runs for the Mariners. Just a rough season for him, and I'm not really betting on him to get hot. And Coors wasn't the only place for the combo meal either, as Robbie Grossman stole his 6th base and hit his 5th home run for Atlanta. Grossman, like Santana, was expected to perform better than he has, but I'm not buying it in off of one good day. Other homers around the game, Yan Gomes hit his 7th, Ben Gamel hit his 8th, Pete Alonso mashed number 33, Garrett Cooper hit his 8th, Charles LeBlanc his 3rd, Rhys Hoskins his 27th, JT Realmuto got his 16th in a 3-hit day, Mike Trout hit his 33rd, Jeremy Pena hit his 17th, Chaz McCormick got his 13th, Jaime Candelario did as well. Austin Hedges hit his 7th. The Reds had 7 players with multiple hits, including Jonathan India in his 10th home run, Jake Fraley in his 10th home run, and TJ Friedel with his 6th home run. Tyrone Taylor got his 16th. CJ Cron hit his 27th. Corbin Carroll hit his 2nd. JP Crawford hit his 6th. Dansby Swanson hit his 19th. Travis d'Arnaud his 17th. Michael Harris hit number 16. Eloy Jimenez got up to number 12. Freddie Freeman hit his 18th. Trace Thompson his 9th. And Trent Grisham, who's been resurgent lately, hit his 17th. Stolen bases on Friday, Tommy Edman swept number 27, Tyler O'Neill number 12, Lane Thomas stole his 6th, CJ Abrams nabbed his 3rd, Randy Arozarena stole his 28th, he had 3 hits as well, Raimel Tapia stole his 6th, as did Luis Rengifo, Andrés Giménez nabbed his 18th, Ronald Acuña stole his 26th, Elvis Andrews is up to 9, Trey Turner stole his 24th, and Will Myers took his 1st. Turning our attention to the mound, Carlos Rodon didn't go as deep as you'd like into the game, but 5 1/3, 2 runs, 3 hits, and a walk isn't bad, especially with 11 strikeouts. He did give up a home run on Friday, and his home run per 9 in the second half is double what he posted in the first. That is a potential issue, and you'd like to see him resolve it, but he's still an ace, and you start him every time you can. Drew Smyly actually outpitched Rodon, going 7, giving up just 1 unearned run on 1 hit and 2 walks while striking out 8. He had 23 whiffs and a 38% CSW. Rodon had 20 and 35%. Smiley gets the Rockies at home next, and that's a great matchup for him. Lance McCullers went 7 against the Angels, allowing 2 runs on 4 hits, striking out 6 and walking 1. He had 15 whiffs, and that's just a great start. He gets Oakland next, so keep it going. Ross Stripling was solid, giving up 2 runs on 3 hits without a walk and striking out 4 over 6. No win for him, but got a quality start, and I'm going to keep running him out there. Yes, it was against the Royals, but Joey Wendt showing us why the Tigers are high on him, going 6 2/3 shutout, allowing just 1 walk and 2 hits with 5 strikeouts. On the other hand, his velocity was down, and he had just 10 whiffs. The Astros are coming up next, so he's going to have to do this again before I give him a shot. Where were the Ks, Roansy? Roansy Contreras held the strong Cards offense to just 1 run on 4 hits with 2 walks in 5 1/3 innings pitched, but he struck out just 1. Velocity was way down. He got up to 113.2 innings on the year across 2 levels after this start. He threw just 61 innings last year and didn't pitch in 2020 because of the pandemic. He's only gone over 100 innings once before. That was in 2019. You got to wonder if the Pirates are thinking about shutting him down sometime soon, especially with that velocity drop. The results for Brian Bayo weren't as good as the last couple times, but 5 1/3 innings allowing 3 runs and 3 hits with 7 strikeouts isn't bad. Though he did walk for it, really could have been a lot worse given all those base runners. But under the hood, there were 16 whiffs and a 37% CSW. I really think he's turned a corner, and unless the Yankees get healthy, I'll start him against them next time out. Continuing our look at promising young starting pitching, Nick Lodolo went 8 innings, giving up 2 runs and 5 hits and striking out 11. He is an ace in the making. Austin Pruitt jumped into the start when Caprillion was scratched and threw 5 no-hit innings against Chicago with just 2 strikeouts. I don't have much faith in that happening again, though. Lucas Giolito put together a solid start Friday, going 6 innings pitched, allowing 3 runs and 5 hits with 2 walks and 6 strikeouts. But that's me saying Giolito was decent, and his decent start is against the weak A's and has a bad ERA and a bad whip, and it turns out no win. Yeah, Cleveland's up next for him, and they're not hitting a ton, but Giolito is still high risk. Cal Quantrill worked around some trouble, 5 innings and 9 hits and a walk. That's a whip of 2. But he only allowed 2 runs and only one of them was earned, and he struck out 7 plus got his 12th win, so still probably worth it. He has a matchup with the Angels next and then a repeat with the Twins after that. I definitely like him against the Angels, against the Twins again. A little bit riskier. Let's see how he does against the Angels before we make any decisions. Frankie Montas has been a roller coaster, and Friday was a dip. 5 2/3, 9 hits, 4 runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. I am honestly not sure what's up with Montas. I want to trust him, but I just can't. Germán Márquez had been strong on the road lately, but a reminder that doesn't mean you should use him at Coors. You can go look up his Friday night line for yourself. Suffice it to say, it is ugly. Robbie Ray and Charlie Morton should have been a pitcher's duel, but they gave up 4 earned runs apiece. For Ray, that was over 5 innings on 8 hits and 6 strikeouts. For Morton, it was over 6 1/3 with 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Both should be better next time out. Similar results in San Diego, where Dustin May and Mike Clevenger each gave up 4 runs on 5 hits over 5 innings, though May only allowed 3 earned runs. May struck out 3 and walked 3, while Clevenger struck out 4 and walked 1. Obviously, those walks are concerned for May, and the lack of strikeouts for both of them not great. That said, this is a tough matchup. It's the second straight time they faced each other. Now, May gets Arizona and Clevenger gets Seattle in their next starts, and I think they will both be glad for that change. In the bullpens, Brandon Hughes got his 4th save, going 1 1/3, striking out 1 and allowing 1 hit. If he can get consistent, he's an interesting late season play, but he has been too up and down so far. Dylan Tate matched Hughes for the Orioles, going 1 1/3 with a K and a hit. That got him his 4th save as well. The Orioles say Felix Bautista has arm fatigue and they want to give him a few days off. Tate may be the short-term guy, but got to wonder how long a few days is. It could be over very soon. Dylan Floro got his 4th save, taking the 9th from the Marlins. Edwin Diaz got 2/3 of an inning in that one, trying to keep the Mets close enough to win. He did fine, but the Mets didn't come back, hence Floro getting the save. Don't think this should impact Diaz's availability today, as he threw just 6 pitches. Nick Nelson got the 27th out for the Phillies, collecting his first save. Brad Hand got the first shot at the 9th, but 2 outs and 2 hits later, he made way for Nelson. Robertson's still the guy in Philly, but Hand could move down the ladder a bit. Sean Armstrong did the same as Nelson, getting the 27th out and his second save for the Rays. JT Chargewad come in before him, but gave up a home run to cut the lead to 2 and then made way for Armstrong. Tim Mayza took a blown save after allowing an inherited runner to score, but the Jays got it back and Jordan Romano still locked down his 32nd save with two strikeouts and one hit allowed. Guardians pen that had been so good lately nearly blew their second straight. They were handed a 7-2 lead, and they let the Twins climb back to 7-6 before Emmanuel Clase looked dominant, getting three quick outs, including two strikeouts, to finish his 32nd save. The bullpen's not immune at Coors. It was the D-backs pen that got hit, though. They gave up seven runs. Reyes Maranta blew a save. Caleb Smith took the loss. The Rocks pen fared a bit better. Daniel Bard pitched a clean ninth and got the win when Colorado walked it off. A.J. Puck imploded for the A's, giving up five runs on four hits and a walk to blow his fifth save and take the loss. It's just super unfortunate for Oakland, who actually managed to get a three-run lead into the ninth and then lost anyway. After that outburst, Liam Hendricks took the bump for the Sox and got his 32nd save. In San Diego, Heath Hembree took the loss for the Dodgers, allowing an unearned run that was the ghost runner in the 10th inning. That gave the Padres' Adrian Morejon the win. Big pen names in this one pitched well, too. Craig Kimbrell went 1-2-3 without a K. Josh Hader went 1-2-3, but with two strikeouts. Good to see from both of them. Finally, Kenley Jansen struck out a pair in a perfect inning, getting his 33rd save for Atlanta. With that, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to Saturday.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at the weather with our friend Mark Paquette.
Thank you very much. Well, we saw the expected rain affect San Diego yesterday, but for the night, it's mainly gone. Just some light drizzle and rain around. It wasn't really a big impact. I don't know why I'm looking in the future when should be talking about the past. Well, it is a forecast. It looks to the future. And today, with games spread out through the day and the evening, we should be all set. I don't see any rain impacting anywhere, so go ahead, feel free. Whoever you have, DFS, your season-long fantasy, go ahead and have fun. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Mark. If you're looking for streamers today, you know, if Corey Kluber is available, I've been saying the Yankees don't really scare me right now, and they don't. I would start Kluber. I don't expect them to do a whole lot against him. As for the offenses I want to use, the D-backs and the Rocks and Coors, you know, they put up a bunch of runs yesterday. I suspect they'll do it again. And the Jays facing Kohei Arihara, definitely an opportunity for them to have a big day. With that, I'll let you go check out all the content at Pitcher List. Enjoy your Saturday. Watch some baseball. And then hope you're back with us here tomorrow for another First Pitch.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.